This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future.
Today we have with us
Ross Kessels
and Vicky Marie Buchanan.
And I'm Stuart Burks. Okay, so Vicky Marie, you last week you were talking about developing the drama curriculum and the interaction with the children and the as you learned what to do.
Yes.
So how did that progress?
I think we were working on the devising, and I was using the Trinity College syllabus as my framework and guide, really. And then progressing through the year, the systems were working. It was hard work, really hard work, but it was working. The students were having real experiential learning activities, and through process drama, and through those experiences, they were really connecting with the emotional impact of things as well as the physical impact, and they were really starting to think about issues and feelings and relationships, building relationships. So that came to the fore in very simple storylines, very simple devised storylines coming through that we then developed by term three. This, you've got to bear in mind term one, two has had all that learning process.
So it's the one project you're developing through the year.
When I knew that the ultimate would be term three, when we would present this in a performance space, term one and two would be very much a process learning where they're developing some fundamental skills, and it was fundamental at that stage, fundamental skills as well as developing an awareness within themselves about a little bit more about who they are. So by the time we got...
How large were your classes?
20.
20.
20 students.
And you were able to engage all 20. I'd be thinking drama, there's one person speaking and then they...
No, huge. It's huge learning. Huge learning on my part. Exhausting. Behaviour management. By this point, I have to say, I'm still an LAT, a limited authority to teach teacher, and I'm still learning. I'm on the track three registration for teachers program. So, and I have to say, behaviour management was my big learning curve. And here I am teaching drama.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, how do you
kids.
Keep them all engaged when you've got
you
20
break,
children?
It's technique. Yeah. And at school, and you break them up into groups, and then you bring them back together collectively.
Okay. Yeah.
And we have a really good, I think, the year before and term one especially was all about developing the culture within the classroom, the trust, the expectations, and we weren't going to move on until we had that.
Did you have support in there as well, or is it just you and the 20
kids? I think LATs, I think the classroom teacher would have to have legally been there as well.
And she was active in, or he was active
in? No, they were doing their things, but they were there and aware of it. It was very much, and yes, I would go to them and talk to them afterwards about their students or things like that.
Yeah.
But all the time it was developing. The students were developing, I was developing, and we did have a trusting, respectful relationship going forward.
And you could keep them all engaged.
Yeah, we did. And when we had the odd blow-up, we dealt with it.
Okay.
Very much so.
Now, you were doing this for several years?
I did this in the end. I was at St Mark's for nearly 20 years.
Okay. Has there been much of a change in the sort of children? I mean, now they talk about there's far more children from sole parent families and so on. So was there much of a change in the sort of structure you had to take, or the nature of the children that you're dealing with?
Definitely. I mean, I think about the end game when I'm up here teaching with older students. Definitely,
in an intermediate school.
School, definitely. and society and mental health, definitely. But the fundamental has not changed. And I still maintain, from when I started in 1999 to finishing in 2019, and I had a very difficult classes in my latter years, the fundamental was still there, is the trust and the relationships. And
you mean building that trust?
Building that, and really establishing that in the first term, really. And yes, we had blowouts, and yes, we had issues going on, but fundamentally, always, I still maintain there was trust and there was respect. And I always have integrated from this 1998 to 2019, I have integrated and learnt and refined drama in education and learning drama as an experiential learning tool for literacy, for inquiry, sometimes
emotional intelligence.
Oh, huge. Running all the way through it. Running all the way through it. Improving the writing, improving perspectives. It's been huge. But backing up, from there and doing the performance and then the Trinity exam, which was the first sort of assessment thing. From there, I was invited or asked by the examiner there, why don't you do your FTCL? This is amazing. It was, I have to say, groundbreaking at that point.
FTCL
is the Fellowship of Trinity College London, and that was a thesis, and that was... So I sort of went, because I was sort of growing at such a rate and all of this, but I took that on because the thesis was the work. I wrote about it and put it together. And then following on from that, I was invited by the chief examiner in London, who was over in New Zealand. He met me for lunch and invited me to become an examiner with Trinity College.
Now, you did mention Pennins, Palmerston North Intermediate Normal School. So
that's further on.
So yeah,
that's 20 years away yet.
Okay, yeah, fine.
So,
when did you come to Palmerston North? You came to Palmerston North to work at
2013.
Okay.
So, with that, another big learning curve. But I'd done my FTCL as well at this point. The school was now 2 years in to the drama in education. I have to say, by then, now New Zealand's catching up too. And Drama New Zealand is an organisation which... a ministry-supported organisation, and so you were starting to get really good professional support coming through as well. Again, mainly at the secondary, but there was primary components coming through.
So where's the professionals? I would have thought if there's professional support, it would be people such as you who started at the beginning, who have the expertise to pass on.
I'm having a real brain fade here at the moment to know, but there's some other people... not Waikato, but in Wellington, who have done amazingly groundbreaking drama and been advocates for years before I hit the scene, but it's where they listen to, you know, and they'd spent their careers advocating for it. So suddenly it was because of this curriculum that came through in 2000, suddenly there was... We have a curriculum, this has got to be delivered. And so their years of work were starting to be listened to as well. And so that was all heartening going through that period. So I started my examining with Trinity College as well as that in my training. And then again, school was really, really supportive about that, St Mark's, because it was all a natural progression, really. Of how it had happened, and so it all just organically flowed.
When you say the support, you got sort of day release for study?
So what that meant is that I would have to do training modules from London that were sent to us here in New Zealand, and then I would have to go to a training seminar, they call it a standardisation conference, over in London for 2 or 3 days, and where they lock you into a hotel.
Go
and
to
just,
London for 2 or 3 days.
Yeah, yeah,
it
yeah.
takes longer
and
to get
would,
there and back.
And they would lock you into a room and yeah, whip you, yeah, my golly, yeah. And assess you. Assessment, I learnt the meaning of word assessment upside down and inside out. And then that also meant that I would go away on a tour, an examination tour internationally. You didn't examine in your own country because it was non-biased.
Oh.
Yeah. So I went to, my first country I went to was India.
Oh, hang on. Now, on the cultural differences that you need to know for it.
Another shell shock. So
isn't this colonialism?
Yeah. All right. So school, St Mark's was really good, and so they gave me 4 weeks leave without pay or 5 weeks leave without pay. And I set up the program for a reliever to come in and do that work while I went off and examined for 5 weeks. So wherever I went, the school went.
Oh, so, what, so each year you had
each
a few weeks
I
off
went,
travelling?
Yeah, and so each year I went off and examined for 5 weeks.
In a different country.
In a different country.
So whereabouts have you examined? India?
India, China, US, Canada, Sri Lanka, South Africa, Australia.
Yeah. And did you have a chance to see much of the country at the same time? Or you just
but I tell socks off.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, you learn so much about the countries, and it has been the most, if I look back on my work there with Trinity, it has been the most humbling, enriching, inspirational experience of my life.
That
really.
Was through
the examining, through meeting the students, and where we've talked about drama and emotional impact and physical impacts, put that into any international country and students, and now you have a syllabus which has refined again, and it is totally embracing international experiences, worlds, cultures, life, and that all comes through drama performances in the exam room.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's one component of the exam. Then the next component of the exam is where you talk and you unpack the pieces, the meaning, the social issues underneath, and how that has been developed and rehearsed and presented, and the impacts on that, the impacts of that and the techniques and all that sort of thing. So it's very thorough, very rigorous. And in that process, you learn about the real social issues of the country and the people and the kids.
Okay.
And you are just absolutely humbled.
Now, are they the real issues or the public image of those issues.
Yeah. Okay. If you're thinking in India, I there's just so many issues that will stay with me for the rest of my life. But one of them would be a little girl, 12 years old, coming into the exam room, and she did a devised performance. They're not all devised.
Oh,
you know,
so the
can,
exams are one-on-one? So
some are one-on-one, some
yeah.
are groups.
Yeah.
But this one little girl came into the exam room, and she had devised this performance that she was looking forward to going to school, and she was going to go to school, and the parents had saved up a lot of money to send her and her brother to school. The mother had a heart attack, and so therefore the girl had to then clean all the vessels and cook and be the provider for the, be the nurturer for the family.
Yeah.
So the boy could go to school only and the girl couldn't. And she really developed this scene, this performance, based on that, and then the impact of that and how her relationship was with the family because of that. And then the brother said he'd teach her, and then the family found out, and so she... Oh, it was awful. It was very sad in the end. That was her life.
Hmm.
You know, that was... Well, no, that had happened to her aunt.
Oh,
and
yeah.
that was her family, and of course they all live in the one house.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's those sorts of things that you had. There was one in Africa, and a woman came in, and she had been living in a slum, a black African woman, and she'd been living in a slum. She had been pulled out by soldiers. She'd been raped. She'd had a baby. they'd come back and killed the baby. And she had put all that into a diploma, which is one of the top exam, into a diploma performance, and that was a 45-minute performance that I had. And the soul...
So they have to write the script and
actually... She chose to... She used some self-written pieces. She used some other texts.
Okay.
So it was a combination. She put together the program, and then she had interwoven it with African songs and soulful songs in between. And as she explained to me afterwards, it was her life, and it was incredibly moving. And she looked at me and she said, it's what you do for freedom to survive. You'll do anything to survive. You know, I'll never forget that. And how, as I, and as an examiner, can say, I couldn't even say, well, how did you rehearse this? I mean, her life rehearsed it. You know, you couldn't, you know, things like that, and you sort of think, far out. That's a sort of, that's another end of how drama has been used to tell a story, to share the pain.
Yeah. So it's just sort of drama therapy, really. Yeah.
Well, but we're not drama therapists.
Yes. Yeah.
But to tell the story and to free her up a little bit more in her survival journey. You know, it's huge stories. India, you know, you go back and there was the whole Slumdog Millionaire.
Yeah.
And that came from kids from the slums.
Yes.
So there's the dream that everybody can get the golden ticket.
Yeah. Yeah.
To get out of the slums, and so you literally have these kids coming through the door. That
when you say Slumdog Millionaire, so
you know the
you
movie.
Mean the, yes, yeah, I know the, that. Mm. You mean the story was devised by the?
No, they took kids from the slums to do some of those these characters because they were in the slums.
Yeah,
they, and they paid megabucks for those. You know, those kids got those kids or families got movie fees for that. And some of those kids, some of them went on to do amazingly well. One in particular, another, you know, others didn't because they spent all the money because they weren't used to it.
Yeah.
And back in the slums, you know, it's sort of, it's those sorts of experiences that you're having in those countries. That you think, whoa, and there's drama. And often I would think, if only I could have the chief examiner and all the writing and the creation and the development, that heartache that goes into the developments of those syllabi, which are superb for any international forum and class forum. If he could see the power of all his work, you know, what it's doing in those countries is amazing.
Now, I was going to say that obviously it is something you get really emotionally invested in, and I can see why. But,
with
modern technologies, though, are a load of these things actually recorded?
Well,
could video record?
Well, then we... No, it's all... Well, we do. We do record it because that's part of the assessment procedure and safeguards. But you don't record it for... publicity, because of confidentiality and everything. But it's incredible. So there's the power of drama, you know, in schools, in education. And then the last thing I did was Pike River, wasn't it? And you can take it, you can do these big things like I've seen international. Fast forward, marriage broke up here. Found this lovely young lovely man from the typing pool back in the internal affairs days.
Almost in the typing pool.
Almost in the typing pool in internal affairs days, but we finally hooked up through the internet. So I'm up here in Palmerston North, and I'm teaching in a classroom, not as a drama teacher, because they don't, you know, it didn't work out that way, so I'm doing full classroom teaching. I've subsequently earned my registration, and so I'm fully qualified in all those aspects. One of the holidays, we went down south to the west coast, didn't we, and the mining, Riften, and all those sorts of towns, and we went to Pike River. And it spoke to me. It's one of those places.
We did the Pike River Memorial.
And it just spoke to me. And because I've spent a life and career of using social issues, to devise drama and tell stories, I knew that one day I was going to write a script about Pike River. And it did happen. I was off work having had surgery, and I thought, ooh, and I read and read and read and read and read all about it. And I did write this play, and I presented it to the kids and explained what it was about. I did it for two reasons. Number one, it spoke to me. Number two, we're in the North Island, and I don't know about you, but yes, we all thought it was really bad about Pike River, and that's really sad. Full stop, but like Erebus, get on with life.
Yeah.
But in the South Island, Pike River is very significant, and its people, and its there's a real throb about Pike River down in the South Island. And I wanted to tell that story to these kids up here to say, you know, even in the South Island. So we did. We wrote it, and it was incredibly powerful. It's really addressed social issues. And I was so proud of the kids, actually. And we, with the day that I was telling the kids about it and saying, this is what it's about, was the day, and it's just by pure good luck or whatever, the day that they were actually going in to try and get into Pike River again, you know, to try and open up the mine again.
Yeah.
So, and they were amazed. They were absolutely in it all the way through and said, man, I'll never let this go. I'm going to watch this and see what happens to this. They talked about it in families. They were in it. Elections, we've done devised dramas here in the intermediate time of the elections. It was a time that Jacinda was coming in and Andrew Little resigned and Materia Turea, she resigned. And there was all sorts of issues going on through the whole election campaign. Every day coming into school, Miss Buchanan, what are we going to do? Andrew Little's retired, you know, Materia Turea, what are we going to do now? What's going to happen to our play? And all that sort of thing.
So when you say devised drama, you were working it up with the children on the way through and modifying it as new developments.
We had to modify it. Every day we were practically having to modify it. So that's the power of drama in education. It wasn't the play that we did in the end. It was those kids knew about the
election.
Well, it got
them away of character affairs, didn't they? Which is very useful.
That's drama and learning. And that's been, I would say, that's been the fruit, really, of the real sort of pinnacle of my journey, really.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.